Alex Berlin. Deine Stadt, dein Programm. YCBS.
If you are moving all the time from place A to place B, trying to survive, trying to help others, your community or your family, what do you think? It is harder?
When you move from one place to another, do you have the same opportunity, the same time to think about the access to rights? I would say that the first issue, which is the responsibility of the policymakers in line with the fundamental texts to provide a situation where this access to rights is what is natural, is in place. Then you have inequalities in society. You have the capacity of each one to find his place in the society, his way, his path.
Which are the most important achievements of the human rights work in the last years, some years in the field of migration and inclusion?
People who deal with securing rights for people, the most hot issue is for all these activists, the situation of migrants. I say the hottest because when you are a migrant, you have a double problem. The problem that have all poor people to have access, but also the difficulties because you are a migrant. In my country, activists which secure the right to housing, to food, to education, to health, try to address the situation of all the people in need, migrants or not migrants. The real heart of what should be Europe. We have in Europe today, more than two decades ago, two opposite narratives. One narrative which speaks about exclusive identities. The fact that in competition we have to select the people who are entitled to and the people who are not entitled to. And on the other side, we have part of society which still thinks that when you are in the same place, you have to share with everybody the real access to rights.
Was your dream to work in the field of the human rights, or it was a spontaneously decision to work in that field?
In France, you have a lot of people, of activists, which deals with making rights effective. Not all of them do it being member of a human rights organization. They do it like trade unionists, they do it like people who take care of access to housing, access to food, access to education. The rights are defended by many people every day, locally, in perfectly normal, everyday situation for a very long time. And I joined the Human Rights League when I was in my late 40s. The Ligue des Droits de l'Homme is a French organization which feel responsible to address our leaders in all which is in relation with human rights. And foreign policy is part of it. So in France, in the Ligue des Droits de l'Homme, we are almost 10,000 members. We are present in 300 local groups. We have, at national level, experts who follow situations, who follow rights, who follow laws, who follow a lot of things. And we have also, at local level, a lot of people who act with others on an everyday basis on precise local situations.
Alex Berlin. Deine Stadt, dein Programm. YCBS.
The cultural background is very, really important, how people behave themselves and how they are facing problems.
Yes.
And approaches. For instance, if you have such something with the police department or something like that, it's very, very ashamed for certain cultural circles that you have to do, you have such a problem, and then you go inside, or you are really trying to lose problem and to solve this problem inside of your community or your family or some. Maybe also the trust in another organizations is not like very developed because of maybe certain cultural backgrounds. I think it is the case in Germany, actually, what I observe in some departments of Berlin where I'm living and working with migrants from different countries, that they don't trust certain organizations, and they would never go there to search for their right.
Well, one of the challenges is really to find the right path between a situation which happened at a personal level. And when I say personal level, doesn't mean that it's not reproduced thousands, tens of thousands, and hundreds of thousands of times, but something that you feel happening to yourself or to you and the other youngster with whom you are in the street. To find a path between this situation and addressing it collectively with more diverse actors and with the aim of solving it. We have probably in France, in Germany, many, many positive stories to produce, to show. We have the parents, the associations, the people in education, who in a way or another, at one or another moment, in one or another situation, will take with the youngsters the situation and will look and maybe even find a solution. And you have a lot of, unfortunately, bad outcomes where this path is not found.
Alex Berlin, deine Stadt, dein Programm. YCBS.
So again, we have to act at local level. We have also to provide a framework at more global level, so to make this situation not happen because of the global framework. And this is a challenge to act local and global. Act global, to think how to act local and to think how to act global. So acting and thinking at all levels and connecting. And it's a real issue in our society. I share this point of view with you, as I think I share with you the fact that we have positive experiences and negative experiences. Of them, and they are already in this country for 15, 18, 20 years. So their behavior is not because of a different culture, but the behavior which comes from the way they understand the life experience. If they consider that when they feel an ill treatment, no one will do anything to help them. They don't look for a help. So what is going to happen? Maybe that for a reason or another, someone will tell them, yes, you can have a help. Yes, there is a possibility to try to address the issue. And the discussion will be, with this youngster, do you want to address the issue? Do you want to do it with the help of someone? It will be very human. It will work, it will not work. I don't know. When you think, when you speak, and we were speaking at individual level, the behavior of people, we are in a situation where the culture of the country is known by everybody. There is no lack of knowledge about the global values of this society. And I would even say that these values not only are known, but in a way are respected, in the way that youngster will say, why this value don't apply to me? And that's the question we have to solve with him and with the people with whom he, this person, interact. It's when we speak at individual level. When we speak at collective level, discrimination, social attitudes, collective behaviors, also of the youngsters, it's another issue. join an organization like the Human Rights League, like Amnesty International, like SOS Racism, this kind of organization which exists, it means that your entry point won't be food, housing, education, but will be rights. And it's very complementary. So very often in my country, people who were at one moment trade unionists, who were at one moment something else, at one moment in their lives, they say, okay, let's be active for the rights. And they join such an organization. So they do it or after having been active in other fields. But also you have young people who from start decide to think, speak and act about rights and not about a sensitive situation. The League des Droits de l'Homme in France is a very senior, very respected, very recognized organization, and by local and central authorities and by all social actors. So in almost any situation we have to deal with, we are not going to do it alone, but we are going to do it with a network of organizations. It's true for the situation with migrants today. It's true with access to housing, education, and so on. You have very often in France organizations which are specialized in such or another right. La Ligue des Droits de l'Homme is really an organization which is not in a way specialized. We are looking to think from a universal point of view. So we look at any moment to situations which deserve special attention, and we join with other forces to act together to solve problems on the ground, to address authorities with demands and ask them for action where it is needed.
My name is Eros. I'm 40 years old. I wasn't born in France. I was born in Congo. And I moved in France when I was a little child, a toddler. And I grew up in the north of Paris, not in Paris, downtown. But I grew up in north of Paris in a city called Gare de Gonesse. Then I moved in Sarcelles. Those are suburbs of Paris. That will be our main topic. Today we'll talk about suburbs in Paris and things like this. I work with the magazine Fumigène. I'm a journalist, a photo reporter. And before that, I worked as a lawyer in many areas. I also work in parliament as a chief of staff in French Senate. Also, I work with the European Parliament. And one of my main topics of journalism is talking about discriminations, urban policies, and what we call banlieue in France.
Alex Berlin. Deine Stadt, dein Programm. Why CBS?
They needed muscles to rebuild this, so they brought people from the colonies of France. People from Tunisia, Morocco, Algeria, Senegal, Mali, call it also what will be Cambodia after, and Vietnam, For example, so many people came to help to rebuild the country. There you had this very high rate of employment. You have this need to build new things. So you have to give housing for the new French working class and also for the working class that was coming from the colonies. And they had to rebuild this. And the places that they choose were places where before there was nothing. Like, for example, this image. This image.
So, yeah. Jetzt die Viertel, jetzt stehen, also diese Arbeiterviertel, in dem wir auch gegenwärtig. Und auch diese Vororte, da war ja nichts früher. So, also ein Bild von damals.
So, this is from Sarcelles, where I grew up. And this is a picture at the end of the 1940s. So 1940s, you just have fields of agriculture and nothing else. You have very small towns of 8,000 people, 5,000 people. This was a very strong progress because, for example, people that were living in those buildings in the 50s, the 60s and the 70s, especially in the 50s and the 60s, they had accommodation that many people in downtown Paris didn't have. For example, in those buildings, they had flats where you have hot water, you have big bathtubs, and you have all the modernity aspects of life. And at that time, living in the banlieue, in the suburbs, was something very progressive because you had all the modern, new architecture. Things start to change. Mm-hmm. Why did it start to change? For many reasons, but one of the main reasons were the end of the French colonies. French had colonies in many places in the world, and those countries asked for independence. What happened is that some French who were living in those countries were settlers had to come back in France. And the most important number of the French settlers were coming back from Algeria. After the war, because there were a war of independence between the 50 until 1962, this was one of the cause of the tensions because people that were from Algerian descendant in those places were not claiming to have the same rights with all the French people because they didn't have the same rights. For example, they could have curfew in France. If you were someone who were from a colony, especially from Algeria, they could ban you to be outside from one part of the time during the 60s when the war in Algeria was very strong and people that were Algerian here were claiming for the independence or for just to have the same rights that the other French people. So the case of Algeria started to bring tensions in the banlieue. That was the starter. But it became more difficult at the end of the war when thousands of French settlers had to leave their houses in Algeria and come back to live from one day to another to France. Oil shock went because there was oil shock, the oil price raised like a peak, and all the Western economies and France and the US and Germany were faced a social and economic crisis. So what happened is that in those people in these areas where most of the people were working class, people start losing their jobs. And losing their jobs, losing their incomes, what happened is that the tensions start to rise. At the same time, the state, during the 70s, starts to less invest in public facilities there. So what happened, you have the collapse of the employment, and the rise of the unemployment. You have the fact that the state starts investing less and less in those banlieues. What we start seeing is that the former settlers from Algeria, but also the former French soldiers who fought during the war in Algeria, start to develop a strong racism against young Arab people that were born in France. And so in the beginning of the 80s, we have a wave of young Arab people being killed in the working class areas, in Marseille, in Les Minguettes. Marseille is in the south, Les Minguettes is in the southeast, and even here. So you have former soldiers, they still have their pistol, and they will have sometimes drink, and they will see a young Arab boy. Lead to a political movement that led that some people in Les Minguettes start a march that went all over France, that unified people from the banlieue and especially people coming from the immigration, and they marched till from Les Minguettes till Paris. And they call this march La Marche des Beurs, but les Beurs, the March of the Beurs. Mm-hmm. And in French languages, in slang French languages, Arab is A-R-B-E, and if you reverse it, it's like Beurre. So in the slang, you can call an Arab a Beurre. Arab, Beurre, so then you can call him Beurre. Now, the banlieue are still facing a territorial segregation, because when you look at the investment of the public authorities nationally, regionally, there is more money in downtown Paris in public investment than there is money where I grew up in Sarcelles. For example, when you look at the money that in a very fancy district of Paris, someone will go in high school, would have more opportunities to learn for activities than a kid in Sarcelles or in Nevers, for example, in some places in Nevers, in some places in north of France, and all those places are what we call the banlieue. In 2005, a very dramatic event happened. It was during Ramadan. There were kids like your age, 14, 16, they were playing football. And the police was called because they were supposed to be robbers, because they have this idea, Arab people, black people, they are robbers. They rob, they steal things. So the police came and chased them. And like it was Ramadan, they said, oh, if they caught us, they would take us for hours. And it will be soon the tour, and we have to cut the Ramadan to go and to eat. So they were very afraid. So they start running. And three of them ran so much, they were so scared to be caught by the police, that they jumped a fence or a big wall, and they went into electrical compound, and they got electrified. And two of them died.
Oh my God.
They were 14 and 15. Many of people like us started activism saying that this only happened because the banlieues are segregated, because the government is not doing its job to invest a lot in those places. Because when you're black, when you're Arab, when you're Muslim, you're facing a structural discrimination. Because what's happening in the banlieue is like experimentation of what can happen in France. The tensions, the segregation, the poverty. And I will also speak, I will end with something very more positive. But and the way people point the fingers at the banlieue here in France, when the politicians want to show a very bad example, they will show the example of what's happening in the banlieue. And so you have this very unreal political speech where some politicians always point fingers at the banlieue. the history of the banlieue, what they are facing now, and also how they are very inclusive. When you live there, you are multicultural, you are very inclusive. That was what I wanted to tell you about the banlieue.
Thousands of youth in all of France are segregated. 900,000. Mm-hmm,
true.
Yeah. And no one from them is searching neither for a job nor for a study because they suppose they don't find anything.
And good numbers. Unfortunately, that's one of the bad aspects of the French system that segregates people, and especially the more weak of the population, are those who will go into a circle, a vicious circle, where they start not going to school, so not being qualified, so having hard time to find a job, having hard time to find a house, and sometimes going through a process of more and more inequality and so on. First issue is to invest more in school, in education. We need to have more schools that are opened and more provided with good teachers, enough teachers, experiment teachers, and with the people that are not teachers but support the teachers' work, because we need to have people available for the young people who are facing issues with school. That's one of the first things. The second thing is that we want the government to change its housing policy, because, for example, now when you ask for a flat in the public housing system or even in private housing system, when they will see your name, Ahmad, and they say, oh, Ahmad, oh, we have too much Arabs in this place. No, put this file down. So we want the when you file for house that you can file it without giving your identity.